Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. We're kicking off a new year. I'm Craig. This is Greg. Same guys, same studio. New content, though, for you for this new year. So let me start off with at home. Fill in the blank on this way. The shortest distance between two points is, it's a straight line, right? But it's not a shortcut to get there. Mm-mm. I think a lot of people want to find the fastest way to get someplace. And our experience has been that sometimes there are some things that if you try to rush it, doesn't turn out so well. Mm-hmm. But if you take your time, I think that the results might not come as quickly as you want, but mm-hmm. I think the results are much more satisfying and lasting. It's not just kind of a flash in the pan sort of thing. So let's unpack that for some of our leaders that are watching us today. Why is it, let's start off with on the negative side, why do we want things done so quickly right now?
Like a patience. It's like a patience.
Yes.
It's like, that's our problem. We want it now. We don't want to see it take maturity. We're kind of immediate gratification a little bit. Not just any generation, all of us humans. Yep. You know, I think that's just we're impatient. And we want results. The shortcut seems to be what would make sense.
Yeah. But what's the easiest way to get there? Is what people usually ask.
Have you done that on your GPS? Like fastest, most scenic? Well, I did a little research from the map. I have one map that I really like. And the percent of who wants the scenic is 2%.
Yeah. Like, just get me there.
Right. Put the pedal to the metal and let's go.
Yeah.
I think you're missing trees. There was a gentleman that I had a cottage next to that was really quite interesting. He never took the same way back.
Hmm.
So like, let's say from you drive from your town to jump on the highway. He would take a different way if you got back home, back to his house. I just thought it was brilliant. And he tried different roads just to get a different view, wasn't in a hurry.
Right. And who knows what you're going to discover. Right. On a new route.
And oftentimes you take the same road, you're like, did I even use my blinker? Like, it's just so involuntary. Drive like this.
No. Right. Well, I think that is, you know, the what I see, especially when I'm in the school working with students, is, and you saw it a lot with athletes when you were working with them, is when something becomes hard, that's making them slow down on getting the work done or getting to the end result, then they immediately just want to bail out on it. Right. They don't want to press through. But, you can use a lot of just really simple analogies, but if you're weightlifting and you're only lifting, you know, a half pound weight, you're not building anything. Yeah, it's easy. And you could get through your workout really quickly doing that. But what's the value? What have you actually done for yourself?
That's almost the person who wants check the box.
Yeah.
I worked out. How did you work out? Well, half a pound.
Yeah.
I guess you did work out.
Look at my to-do list. All of my boxes have been checked.
Exactly. I can sleep good tonight.
Right.
I think immediate gratification is definitely a flaw of all of us. I think the shortcut part is maybe we miss a little bit along the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're so quick. You know, we have our phones. You know, this is going to date us a bit, but, you know, the World Book Encyclopedia. If I had a question, my mom goes, look it up. I'm like, ooh. But she was right. Because the curiosity would be answered in that book.
Yes.
Now you have a phone and you're like, why is it so slow?
Yeah.
I only got three bars.
Right.
So I think it just, we moved into that. I had an uncle that definitely had some cool insights. One was he thought the microwave was the worst invention ever. Because it took people out of the kitchen.
Mm.
You didn't have to, you know, make the mashed potatoes. You could buy them frozen, just put them in.
Yep, yep.
So it hurried it up. And then you went back and, I don't know, sat down, looked your phone, I guess, while it was in the microwave.
Sure.
He thought the microwave was a horrible invention. You know, it's like instant. You have a story about your dad? Well, I'm just teasing. I won't have you do that one. No, edit that. No. I wonder for all of us, why we're in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, most people would say, wow, you know, I can't believe my kids are this old already. Well, you weren't in a hurry, it just happened. So then if you're in a hurry, it's really quick.
Yeah.
And we miss all the good, you know, how to flex your muscles and how to acquire, you know, new interest, and just even driving down the road and looking at Christmas lights or whatever it's, or maybe a look at that farm and the corn's growing really big. You know, it's like we can kind of enjoy the view.
Absolutely. There's so much on the journey to enjoy. Yeah. But I think that one of the things that will help, so it, of course, it has to start with the leader. You as the leader have to be willing to say, I'm going to put in the time, I'm going to go through the process. But I think the other thing, too, that leaders have to help prepare their team up front. This is going to be hard. I think that there's nothing wrong with telling your team that this is going to be hard. This is going to stretch us. This is probably going to take us into territory we haven't been in before. But really, this whole idea of this topic really came from, I can't remember whether you sent me the video or I sent you the video of a guy that was talking to a team that was struggling. And here's the statement. His name's Eric Thomas. This is what he said. Doing difficult creates natural separation.
Let's expand on separation. What do you think
that is? I love it. Well, that's I think that's the leadership separation. The teams that are going to rise above, the leaders that are going to stand out are the ones that have gone through the difficult. Because leaders, think about it this way. When are you going to earn the most credibility with your team? When you lead them through something that is incredibly easy, or when you lead them through something successfully that is really tough? That's what we need leaders for. I mean, you don't need a leader to come in
for low hanging fruit.
Yeah, when everything is just so easy, you don't need a leader for that.
No.
But leaders are going to build their leadership muscle, their leadership credibility, and help other people do that as well when we go through. So again,
I love natural separation.
Yes,
that intrigues.
Doing difficult creates natural separation. You just naturally separate yourself from the pack when you are willing to put the work in and do the difficult things.
Yeah. I've done some sales coaching in my career. You've done a lot of different coaching as well. And one of the things I think that salespeople want is, I'd like that quick sale. And when I've done coaching with certain industries, you know, it's a long sales process.
Sure.
It's not like, hey, I have fresh fruit right now, 3 days from now won't be fresh.
Right.
And they buy because it's fresh today. The long sales cycle really challenges us. But at the same time, I think, I don't know who gets credit for this. I know my parents and grandparents all said it to me. Go the extra mile. It is less crowded.
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about with shortcuts and the journey.
Yep.
So most people want a shortcut.
Right.
And they won't develop
or do the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. Not the second mile.
Or whatever. Yeah. I think that's a challenge for us, whether we're athletes or leaders or, you know, in business or in church or school or whatever jobs we have, maybe even delivering packages for Christmas like Santa Claus in another truck. I think the separation is really kind of nice. Like, and some want to be in a crowd, right? And then others are like, no, I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to be ahead of it.
Well,
that's what this is.
Right. You have to do that. Well, I love you've used this this statement before, and I love this one where you say, you know, if I were to write a book about my successes, you know, it'd be a good book. But if I wrote a book about my failures, it'd probably be a trilogy of books. But in my mind, whenever you say that, what I always want to add is you probably couldn't have written the book about the successes without having the books, plural, about the failures.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to go through that. Mistakes shouldn't be fatal. Mm-hmm. They should be learning opportunities. But that's where a lot of people, I think, fall down, and where they don't do the hard work or look for the shortcut is because they're like, what if I make a mistake? So what if you make a mistake?
Okay, that culture is not very popular. It's not common.
Right.
Where the leadership says, we're going to be a company of mistakes,
right,
but we're going to learn.
Right.
My son's going to kill me on this one, but he was playing one of those games, Nintendo, whatever, Madden, and you can create a player, your own player. And I thought, I was watching him, and I said, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. So, oh, how did he get facial hair? Well, I picked it. It takes weeks to grow a beard. Come
right.
on, you know.
Right.
Isn't that right, Harrison? And so, He just made beard. Then all of a sudden, oh, he got a tat. Well, Where did he get the tat? From the tattoo parlor. I didn't see him leave for that.
Right.
He just got it.
And he didn't pay any money for it.
And then all of a sudden he goes, I think I'm going to go big and strong like Derrick Henry, you know, the running back in the NFL. Well, he's big and strong and fast. So all of a sudden, punch a couple buttons and biceps and big quads and speed number goes up. I'm like, well, he never went to the gym.
Yeah.
And that's our society.
Yep. Yep. Well, as a pastor, I will sometimes have younger pastors. I get this question a lot. They'll say, how long does it take for you to write a sermon?
Oh, geez.
And I used to try to quantify it, you know, like, well, let me see. Once I sit down, and then I said, you know what? I can't answer that question because I am always writing a sermon or multiple sermons. I'm always writing the next book. I'm always writing the next blog post. I have right here on my computer, I've got scads of notes in my office. I've got file folders.
Scads. How many is that?
Lots and lots.
A gazillion?
I don't know. What do I got in here? About 80 or so little snippets of ideas. Scads. But that's like even you and I in an episode like this, we see a quote from somebody or we experience something and we say, can we build on that? And we wrestle with that idea. And I think that a lot of people are wanting to just kind of like, can I just go back here on the shelf and just pull something off and have it done for me and I don't have to do the work for it. But then it doesn't carry any authority with it. It doesn't carry any authenticity with it. People know that you're just going like this and just reading a script to your group, or you're just going through the motions of, well, this is what the leadership book told me I'm supposed to do next. But when you're in there with them and you go, you maybe have to come in and go, made a mistake there. Sorry, guys, I dropped the ball. I just didn't know how to handle this. So here's how we're going to pick up the pieces. Or when you say, hey, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do. I need some help. I need some input from you guys. This is a tough time. How are we going to do this? That's the authenticity of leadership, that where you really are building it up, not just, you know, pushing the buttons like, you know, and say, oh, look, you got big biceps. We're ready to go right through this now.
Right. Yeah. And I think that might be why New Year's resolutions, that's not our episode today, but New Year's resolutions are so commonly characterized as, yeah, they joined the gym a couple weeks later. You could pick any piece of equipment in the gym because they didn't come back.
Right.
Because maybe the result, maybe they realize it was harder. I think that's a fabulous way to start for leaders. I'm just going to repeat, Craig, is, you know, this is going to be hard, but it's going to get our organization delivering, you know, product or services to our customers. Right. To the next level. It's hard. Easy is it's a very popular group.
Yep.
But the hard part really is a tough one.
Well, there's
and why do we avoid it?
Well, there's a word that you use a lot, grit.
I love that word.
Talk to our viewers. How can they use grit? What does that mean to be able to push through and create that natural separation?
Grit is something inside where circumstances call it out.
Yep.
Like courage. Yep. You don't become courageous. You learn courage through difficulty.
Yes.
Or having to say, I'm going to go back and try this again. I'm not going to quit. I think that is one of our societal challenges. It's not on our script, but quitting is too easy today.
Oh, sure.
You know, I just saw a very big number. This is college football, the portal. Over 2,000 players are in the portal already. The season's not even over. They're already quitting. On the team they're on.
Yep.
Just too easy. And I think as leaders, we have to allow someone to fall or trip, but not stay down.
Yes.
And I think that's where grit, I love the word. It's a simple word. I'm trying to blank on the author. Angela Duckworth wrote fascinating on her, that story. Get that book. It's awesome. She wanted to prove what was maybe a pedigree on how leaders became just amazing, top of the game in their field. And she went in with, it'd be something, education, you know, something genetics, something out of experiences.
Right.
And then as she interviewed hundreds of leaders, the number one thing came back as grit.
Mm.
It didn't have anything to do with how smart they were or how much money they had. Or did they have umpteen years of experiences. So to me, grit is something in each of us. And if we don't call it out, it gets a little flabby.
Yep.
That'd be my challenge. Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I love that idea. The word I like to use a lot of times is stick-to-itiveness. Mm. You know, just like, okay, that didn't work.
Your tongue kind of nice.
Let me, how can I stick to it? How can I stick with it? How can I keep going, keep going? And that's the grit. It's the same thing. And, you know, I found that not only, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said that if one person stands up and is courageous, it strengthens everybody else around them. So, excellent. Whether you're sticking to something or whether you're using grit, you may not realize it, but you're actually, everybody around you is like looking and going, oh, look, they're trying again. If they're trying again, you're getting up and kind of dusting themselves off. Maybe I can do that too. Yeah. I think it's calling it out. And that you not only call it out of yourself, but as a leader, you're calling it out of the other people as well to try it too.
I'll use a silly sports example. So leaders, we have to come up with our other exercise. But I coached high school football, as you know, and so it was a pretty hot day, and we were trying to get the kids in shape and running a little bit, and it was a doozy. And a bunch of them, you know, they're on their the elbows on their knees, just heavy breathing, and one of the guys said, "I'm not letting us quit." One of the players. And I said, "Step back, coaches, let him do his thing." He goes, "We're not quitting because in the fourth quarter, when we're playing the rival and they're not quitting, we're going to do this, hands on our knees?" No. He went up and down the row, patting the helmet, patting the shoulder pads. "We got two more in us, coach." I'm like, okay, we were going to do just one more. "We got two more of us." So they ran their little exercise and came back. He went back up and down the row. I mean, there were guys ready to say, "I don't even like you anymore. You know, I know you're my teammate." He went back out. "All right, we're ready to go, coach." Blow the whistle. They did their run, came back. And I said, "All right, you guys get together. Coaches don't go there." So they got all in a huddle, arms on each other, heavy breathing, talking up. And at the end, they all went back to the sidelines like, that wasn't that hard. But one person pushed them to break through, and they didn't stay with on their elbows, on their knees.
Yeah.
It sometimes takes us and leaders to do that.
Yep.
You know, like we're kind of swimming against current here. It's real easy for us to say, "Done, take the helmet off, sit down."
Right.
And in business, we have those same things. Really crazy times of the year. Hectic, short-handed, really busy, end of year, whatever it happens to be. And like December, we chatted, you got about 18 days in December for business, maybe 17 because of the holidays. And other months have 21, some of them have 22 business days. So you've got to jam that in. And so I think for us, you know, as leaders, whether you're running sprints and you have two more left, you know, sometimes you have to encourage them, gut it out. You can do this. It'll be worth it. And you've had those experiences where you've had to rah-rah a very tired team.
Yeah. And I think it does have to start with the leader. Yeah. And that's why, you know, we've talked before about self-care for the leader, because you know, you have to have those reserves that you can call on. I mean, it's hard to challenge other people if you are physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally drained. What are you
leading from?
Right. It's just empty words that you're saying at that point. But we've kind of talked about, I think people know we're advocating, don't take the shortcuts, push ahead, but let's give them a couple of bullet points. What are some action points that our leaders can try right now at the start of this year? Just off the top of your head, just a couple of bullet points. What can they do to start enacting this idea of sticking it through?
I think stick-to-itiveness, like that example of that football player that went up and down. He wasn't even a captain. He was after that practice.
Yeah.
We'll find a spot. I think part of it is, are the goals attainable and are they important?
Yeah.
Right? So our goal this year is X, or our goals. It's not that easy to quit if it's agreed upon goal. That's what I would say. Right. The consensus needs, we're going to be this kind of a team or culture or organization. That I would say is, if you can embrace the goal, it's much easier to get up and go work out in the morning.
Sure.
You and I like the morning. You don't all have to do that, but at least go and walk or do something. But I think maybe goals attainable and agreed upon would be one of my first ones.
Okay.
Otherwise, why get up?
Well, yep, I agree with that. And I think that restating those goals, leaders, I'd also say to you, if there's something you've maybe looked back on, you've tried it, and you said, you know what, we didn't see that one through. We kind of, that project, we just sort of left it by the side and moved on. Maybe you want to go back and pick that up again. You know, like, how can we re-engage on this one? And I think that that speaks to your team when you say, hey, look, you know, we sat down, we had this meeting. Maybe it was a goal that we thought was obtainable, or it was a, you know, a new line we wanted to go into, or a new market we wanted to try to tap. It just kind of fell apart because can we go back and do that? Let's revisit that. Let's see if we can re-engage there and move
forward. Halftime adjustment kind of a thing. Yeah. I think the other part, using the football player story, you know, sometimes as leaders, we're tired.
Yeah.
And sometimes we also got to look at, and I think this is her time to shine. And you can just say, Mary, challenge us to keep going.
Right.
And all of a sudden, gulp.
Yeah.
Okay, team. No. Challenge us. Don't whisper it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she just comes out a flaming. And you're like, oh, you're leading our next team meeting. Sometimes you have to call them out and say, not just Craig, you're the CEO, but the other person who's running a division, they still got passion and they have ears of other people.
Yes.
I think including others to challenge, like, stick with it. Are we really going to be that kind of a team? Are we going to quit, you know, on each other?
Sure.
Or while the going gets tough, the tough get going. You know whose song that is? Okay, whatever. Jeffrey Osborne. Anyway, it's a Motown song, sorry. But I really believe including others to be that young man that walked up and down his team line to finish more sprints. That makes it easier to lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Versus you and I saying, pull the rope and get the team going. That would be another one, I think, is inviting others to
Well, I'd piggyback off of that one, too, and say not only do we as leaders need to look for the people that need encouragement, but we also as leaders need to be around the other people that can be an encouragement to us, too. Right. We need to have, you know there needs to be that, we've used that phrase a lot from the Bible, iron sharpening iron. So I need somebody else around me that's going to say, okay, so how are you doing? You know, can you stick with this? Can you run one more sprint? Can you re-engage there? What lesson can you learn? Yeah. Pick yourself up and keep going. So we need to be around. And speaking of have people around you, one great place is to get a coach. One of the values that I think that we really want to stress in the coaching services that we provide is that we've got somebody that is going to come into your organization that is not coming in and missing some of the details because you see them every day. And so things, you might miss them because you just see them every day. But we or people from our team that come in as coaches, they're coming in with fresh eyes and a fresh perspective. A coach doesn't come in because you say, well, we give up. We don't know how to do this. A coach comes in because we say, you're already doing it pretty well. We just want to help you do it a lot better. So go to MaximizeLeadership.com. There's a page on there about coaching. You can read about some of our coaches, but fill out the form in there and say, this is what we're struggling with. This is where we'd like to get better. And we'll read that. We'll get back to you and we'll get a coach connected with you that can help you soar, help you stick with it and persevere through there. That's why we're here. And that's why we bring you these episodes as well. A lot of them are fueled by suggestions, comments, ideas that you guys have sent and said, hey, can you talk about this? Can you weigh in on this? So please get back in touch with us on X. You can find us at Maximize Podcast. You can also leave a comment right here on this video and say, hey, I'd love for you guys to talk about this kind of topic, and we will work that into our rotation for sure, because we want to resource you, because when you get better as a leader, your organization gets better, your team gets better, the whole world around you starts getting better. So that's why we're here, to invest in you. Make this new year a great start. We've got great content for you coming up. Can't share with you all the things because we got more topics to cover than we got time to cover them. So that's why you got to stay tuned. And if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please do that and click the bell so you're notified when a lot of these videos come out so that you can take advantage of them. Stay tuned. We'll be back with great content for you real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.